That's true. Okay, so we have Willie from Bethel. Good morning, Willie. Welcome to Talkline. Oh, you're going to have to turn.
Hey, let me get out of the radio.
Yeah, yeah.
Line there.
Yeah, good. Turn your radio off.
Are you still with me?
Yeah, yeah. Good morning, Witch.
We won't leave you.
All right, good morning, Kaka.
Yeah, okay.
How are you doing?
We're good.
We're
How about you?
Yeah. I just wanted to, I wish I could aim my Christian game, guys, and have them acknowledge these foreign people that are in town when you come to moose hunting time. We come occur with them before even village people. These guys need to learn something that locally around here we have a lot of land claims and all over, up and down the Greek area, up and down the river, you know, locally around here. These guys in the past, I've witnessed them, and people, other villagers tell me about them, that they, these foreign guys, they need to learn how to hunt around here. When you see a moose, it doesn't mean it's yours. You know, when you shoot it, it's yours.
Okay.
Just because you see the moose that far, it doesn't mean it's yours. That's what they were after all the time to the locust hunters. When they, I've seen this occur before. These foreign guys, they come to local hunters and they say, ask them if they see a moose. And they say, no, if you see a moose, that's my moose. We see it first. That's not right. They need to learn how to hunt. And so maybe fishing game would be helpful if they remind these guys that this area is land claim all over the place.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's a really good...
Well, you know, I'm not pointing at fingers, but they need to learn something to avoid further problems. You know, some locals don't take that kindly, you know, from foreign people. Where they come from and tell you how where we've been raised all our lifetime and where they come from, I would say that.
Okay.
But no pointing fingers, you know. It's just that it occurred and it leads to ugliness sometimes. So to avoid things like that, I wish fishing game would talk to these guys, you know, to beware of what they're getting into. And those of us locally that like to teach their young children how to hunt, leave that bottle at home. If you don't, you're teaching them both ways. So leave that bottle at home. You got lots of time to drink that when you get home. In the meantime, teach your son and your kids how to hunt properly.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I thought I put in my two bits this morning there.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Willie.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Good.
That's a really good point, because I think when you come to another place, you know, there's etiquette. There's kind of unspoken ways of being that is really good to learn and try to conform yourself to.
He had a point. Yeah, I respect, you know, where you're at.
Yeah.
So, and then I haven't set it up yet, you know, but probably next week, you know, come Thursday, I have that. Hopefully we might be able to set up a guest from maybe Fish and Wildlife or Fish and Game to.
What a good idea, to talk about that.
Yeah, talk about hunting in general, and seasons and and all that. So, and how it looks this year.
Good, all right. So, I think Grady's got someone on the line. And the screen had a couple of events that I'll read when
you know the
it gets turned around.
Road crew has been amazed about how they're all over.
Yeah,
you know, so we're expecting to see some progress here.
Right, right. It's really moving along. So John from Napakiak is on the line.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question about this Kuskokwim fisherman's permits. Do we keep paying for them even we're not fishing? And what happens if we don't pay for our permits? Do we end up losing it? Or if we don't pay for it, then what happens to it. Even we haven't fished for a long time, and I was wondering, if we don't pay for our permits, do we lose it, or we keep paying for it every year?
Okay.
Good question. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay, those are technical questions. You know, I think we'd have to.
Okay. Hang up and listen.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Yeah, we'd have to refer to Fish and Game. You know, and I think their number, the only one I know with Fish and Game is 543-2433.
Oh, so that's good. Yeah, they would might, be able to answer that question.
They would know, and then they have other numbers, but I that's the only number with Fish and Game that I know.
Okay, so we're about to go into our break here. I'll just say, because I mentioned it, Che Appalachia. That is us. Oh, it's not till September 23rd. Okay, that's a while down the road. That's musicians.
Yeah, a couple of weeks from now.
Yeah. Well, no, it's September 23rd.
Oh.
I thought it was August.
Oh, okay. All right.
So,
yeah. One month and a half.
And Saturday Market is August 24th in a couple weeks.
Oh, a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, the Cultural Center is such a great place to see music, because if you were in Anchorage, you wouldn't get such a close, you wouldn't be able to be so close to the musicians. You'd be in a, like, bigger venue. But at our Cultural Center, it's kind of like you're right there hanging out with them. And I think it's a really nice way to see musicians. So, and then when we return, we'll take Cesari's call, although he's on hold, so he can't hear us. But we will be taking his call in just a minute. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
All right.
TalkLine is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during TalkLine may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
Send your friends and family a special message on their special day. Tune in and call in to the birthday line every weekday from 3:30 to 4 p.m.
Looking for a great paying part-time job with flexible hours? Becoming a 2020 census taker may be right for you. More information at 2020census.gov/jobs. That's 2020census.gov/jobs. Census jobs with great pay and flexible hours help ensure everyone gets counted to strengthen your community. 2020census.gov/jobs. It's one way you can make a real difference in your community. This message sponsored by the U.S. Census Bureau.
Okay, hello everyone. Welcome back. We have Cesari on the line. Good morning, Cesari.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for waiting.
Oh, it's all right. I don't have much time, but I take time for you guys.
Oh. Okay. Well, we're giving you a whole 5 minutes. So.
Right. Yeah.
Go crazy.
I've been going on it for about 3 weeks or so or more.
Oh, I know. Okay. I know. Yeah.
But. I'm supposed to leave. I'm leaving tomorrow, and I find out I'm leaving tonight. So.
Oh, my. All right.
But anyway.
What's on your mind?
Lots of stuff. That city council and, you know, everybody, you know, lots of those people from YK, from hospital and stuff, supporting and talking, supporting Reeve Albertson and talking against those Nada guys. You know, I know for fact, and I know from the city listening council and stuff before, He been pushing for the TWC, for the thrifty store, for $12 taxes and behind. He was pushing for old ladies selling gas pack one or two in the year. That been bother me. I mean, it's nothing personal, but they bother me. And it's not the things where the businesses make it millions dollars to selling food or cars or something, and it's no paying taxes, nothing at all. And with one of the first meetings what there was happening in Bethel after he was elected in there, there was he said it. If some friend, the some of them were not paid, in that is in the code, that is on this record. Somebody would, sometimes the people would not pay the, our friends, and we have difficult to ask them for correcting. You know, if I see somebody taking my money or people money and putting to one pocket, for me, that is not French. That the cheat, you know. So what? That's what is bothering me here. And another thing about the alcohol and stuff, you know, is I don't have nothing to do anymore. But if I have to go to a bar and get slight pizza and beer, that costs one beer. And slice pizza, because you have to get the food with it, cost me $20. Besides that, I'm getting regulated by where I'm, because the local option, where I order, how much I order, what I what kind of stickers have to, they're going back exactly to the same place where we've been. And I was lots of time think about these villages locally. 40 years they've been in these villages, alcohol, and I even have called from Napastiak because there was no somebody and, years back, and Napakiak and downriver, people going between those villages to battle back and forth and getting booze, getting drunk, fell to river and grounded. The alcohol in these villages, there was forever. If not, there was homebrews, there was gasoline. Why the one of these villages open own liquor store? They save the life. They don't have to come to better to drink. They drink in there. They hire 5 VPS or 10 VPS, so they have enough money. They have enough money to have under the control inside, and nobody have to come out to the dangerous river. And imagination when the battle get local option, and everybody, I go over there and buy it. You know, it's, that'll be dangerous for me, but I go over there, but I don't drink on the river anyway, so just go and buy it and bring it to my home. Why do you know this, the world getting forward, the new generation in these villages getting smarter, they're really poor. They don't have money for roads, for anything, for jail, for, you know, they created the good jobs. They protect the people to traveling outside and looking for get drunk and coming back nighttime to home or snow machine. That will make a big difference for them. That is only my opinion.
Okay.
But if I be shareholder of one of these villages, I be put petition to put to the ballot and voted for it.
Yeah. Okay. That, now that's your 5 minutes. And it sounds like you kind of made a complete point there.
That's what I think.
Your 5 minutes is kind of up.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
If I have something else, I call you back.
Okay, thank you. All right. So we have an anonymous caller. Welcome to the show, Anonymous. Hello.
Hello, Pete.
Hey, good morning.
Don't say the name.
I just
had to stop myself.
I know.
Anyway, I had a couple issues. One of them was about hunting on private lands. the 160 acres that was granted to them by the federal government. For that caller about hunting on private lands, all you have to do, I believe, I was told by an Alaska state trooper 2 years ago, that all you have to do is put up a visible sign on your property, no hunting, private property, and that will be honored. And if you do have a problem, people hunting on your land, all you have to do is right away, as soon as you see the kill above the high water line, call the Alaska State Troopers. They will take care of the problem. They got lots of airplanes. You know, they'll fly right up there right now. And the second one was had to do with commercial fishing license. If he had to apply again.
Oh yes.
Due to the problem that we're having and being denied to commercial fish, your commercial license has been downloaded every year anyway because of the fact of no fishing. You don't have to pay for it. They just forward it to you just to keep you notified that you're still a commercial fisherman. For instance, I received my commercial license in the mail in that fashion because since there's no fishing last year and year before, they just, pass it on to the next year from your last time you submitted a payment. And if it's not being used, they'll just forward you another commercial license in the event that there is a commercial fishing in our area. And the last one really quickly was the third one. I just heard somebody talking about $20 a bottle of beer.
What?
You know, I thought we got rid of the bootleggers. I thought that was taken care of by allowing legal liquor to be sold. When I mean legal, I mean for a lesser cost. Not to go back to, holy cow, when I remember it was $40 for a whole bottle, not for one little tiny bottle of beer, $20. That's real bootlegging legally. But then it's sad the way the system goes. But if that's the way it goes, I guess they have a right to sell it because they're legal. I call them legal bootleggers myself. Mm. Yeah, but that's okay. However it works out, you know, I just wanted to put my little anonymous 2 bits in. Okay, go on.
Okay.
We'll
all right,
you know.
Okay. Good morning to you, Gaia. Yeah, oh. I think that $20 thing was the other guy that called in was making a point, you know, maybe he probably didn't pay $20 for the beer, but he was just referring to a point or making a reference.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I don't think it's gone up to that at this point.
No.
Might have been like $20 for a six pack or something, maybe. I don't know. Sonny is the next caller from Bethel. Good morning, Sonny. Welcome to Talkline.
Yes, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Sonny.
Yes. Haven't you ever noticed when someone don't like you, even if you talk positive, it comes to them negative?
Oh.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. We always think that when we try to speak of good things, they only hear the bad things. But besides that point, everything's beautiful today, whether we have a cloudy or blue sky.
Mm-hmm.
And beautiful, beautiful weather we're having.
Oh, now see, Sonny, that's really nice.
Not hot, not cold.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's just right.
That's so good. Yeah, it's really how we think about things that influence how we're going to feel and how we're going to, how we're going to feel during the day.
Yeah, when you hear somebody and they talk like they're talking bad, there's also good correction too. If you made a mistake and you said it wrong, being corrected is not bad either.
No, that's right.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
So, oh, yeah. Okay. Good. Everyone have a good weekend.
All right. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
See you guys around town and enjoy whatever things are happening.
Yeah. You know, Sonny, if I could tell you this, KYUK has a talk show called Igayutat, and you can see the link on the KYUK website. And that's where Esther Green, each month, it's about a 30-minute show. And I think you'd really like some of what she has to say because you sound kind of like she does. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe that's why I turned the radio off. I already heard them.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
All right.
Well, anyway. Okay. Look
if
for that show sometime.
That I did not, if I hear something that I did not hear, I tend to listen. Otherwise, if I heard it,
you move on.
Okay. All right.
Beautiful day, you guys.
Yes.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you, Sonny. Yeah, it's kind of up to you how your day's going to turn out.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yep. Oh, so we have Joe Tom from Bethel. Good morning, Joe. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning, you two. How you guys doing?
Hey, good morning, Joe.
Good.
You know, I heard William talking earlier. You know, we both have we have state land and federal land, and each resident of each state is up to them to get their hunting license to hunt along with the harvest tag. When he talks about people coming from outer state to hunt, they have to get an out-of-state hunting license. And then they're usually taken out by a guide who has to follow the state guidelines for them to go out hunting. And as we know, some of these hunters break the rules and they get turned in by the people that brought them out to go hunting.
Okay.
So does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Because that's how it is since I've been a kid. We got state land managed by the state Fish and Wildlife Service, and then we got Fed Lands, which is enforced by U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And then, you know, every resident has to get a hunting license on where they're going to hunt, and they have to get a harvest ticket. It's no different for an out of Alaska. They have to get a hunting license for out of state, and then they usually taken out by a guide service, and that guide service pretty much goes where they've been going unless the land they're hunting on is owned by a corporation or a native allotment, and it's up to the people that own them whether or not they could hunt on them lands because it belongs to a certain group of people or individual. So okay. I don't know where William's coming from, but as we know, as far as I can tell, all out-of-state hunters have to get a hunting license. It's called non-resident, and they pay 2-3 times more than we do, and then they're usually taken out by a guide service.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that's pretty much how it's been since I was a kid.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and if anybody's breaking the laws, when they go out as a non-resident, they usually get turned in by the people that take them out for them to go hunting.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen people be cited for that.
Correct. So, you know, there's a process for everything, and pretty much there's a routine for non-resident and resident. So that's pretty much how it works from what I could tell.
Yes.
Okay.
And regarding what Cesare said about taxes, you know, I don't know where this city of Bethel came up with the idea they have to start taxing people that do the Saturday market and people that sell stuff on the side to make a, you know, halfway decent living just for extra income. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand death and taxes is one thing, but, man, they got to tax everybody.
Uh-huh.
Makes no sense. I mean, you're already collecting enough money from all these other corporations, whether they're profit or non-profit, everybody's paying their fair share of taxes, you know, and then you can go and tax the little people. You must be either you're broke or you ain't got no money to pay your bills.
Yeah.
And, you know, the past several years, we know what's causing the city of Bethel to run in the red. Everybody knows the answer for that one. I don't want to say it out loud, but we know what's causing it to run in the red.
Oh.
Yeah, we got water sewer services in the swimming pool. That's what's causing the city of Bethel to run in the red every year.
Oh, I don't know about that. Okay.
You know that. Diane, you've been here long enough to know that.
I don't think that's exactly.
Well, every time they have a city council meeting, when they get ready for their budget, they tell you how much each department is running in the red.
Mm-hmm.
You forgot that?
No, I don't keep close enough track. But anyway.
Well, maybe you shouldn't. Then you'd understand why it costs so much money to run this place.
Uh huh.
You know.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know why people don't like to hear the truth, but that's the matter. You know, that's public statement from the city council. Every time they get ready to do a budget, and then they tell us who's making money, who's losing money, and one of them's water, sewer, and the other one's the pool. Huh. All right, y'all have a good morning, have a great weekend, and stay safe.
All right,
okay,
thanks,
thank
Jill.
You. Okay, hey. Next we have Wassily from Neboskiak.
Good morning, Wass.
Good morning.
All right.
Yeah, Bethel is very lucky to have a swimming pool.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
You know, the fish are dying out here in the rivers and oceans down at the Bering Sea and down at the Pacific. The sea life are dying, and Bethel is lucky to have that swimming pool for people to swim there without getting affected from that radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, keep that swimming pool running at all costs, Bethel.
Okay.
Yeah, I've learned this springtime and summertime that people in the villages do need housing development. And I thank the CVRF for trying to build homes, but you know, talking about the land claims, you know, I think they wanted too much of that, you know, not just the houses but the land claims, which I think stopped them. And I believe that CVRF was formed under federal. Correct me if I'm wrong, but although it is federal, it does not mean it has to do with the Indian land. So the federal and state government are in compact. So it has nothing to do with the Indian lands. So in our villages, I wish that the tribal councils step up and stop sitting around and seek funding such as HUD, H-U-D, and like ABCP, start, you know, building hut housings. You know, people need housing, and your tribal council sitting around. The tribal councils are empowered to seek fundings and to help your people in your villages. Okay. ABCP is not the only one who. I'm grateful that the ABCP is there and steps up and does this, but, you know, the village council has the power to do that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, last year, 2018, I wrote a resolution for AFN regarding our tribal registration at the hospital. And to consolidate the registration process with the Tribal Health Consortium in the state of Alaska, so that to avoid hospital fees that I saw, and even with hospital registration fees, also had the bills.
Mm-hmm.
And this was too much. That's why I wrote it. But for some reason, it was not presented at the AFN for delegates to see.
Okay.
And, you know, this is something is also, I think, downstate at tribal hospitals down at maybe around California. They're also, I believe they're doing this also to consolidating also. And this is good. You know, we as a the natives have the right, for the hospital service for free without billing, and this should be consolidated in the state of Alaska, you know, for Inuit people if they come down to a Bethel hospital, you know. So their registration from, like, in Nome would also come up in the computer in the Bethel hospital. So, you know, and if they're native, you know, they wouldn't be billed for registration or for being seen at the hospital.
Okay, what's...
Hmm. Yeah, okay, that's... I hope this works out sometime. That's okay. It. Thank you very much. Dasvidaniya.
All right, thank
okay.
you.
Okay, thanks for calling, Watts.
And we have Ruth from Bethel. Good morning, Ruth. We're coming down toward the end of our time, but go for it.
I know. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yesterday, I wanted to make a phone call when the teachers were on the line with Peter in Yupik. But I'm so glad teachers come from wherever downstate and come and teach our children, even in the harsh winters in the villages and the high prices. We should be thankful for all the teachers coming, because some are new to this area, and some are coming back. So we welcome all the teachers that are in the villages, as well as Bethel. Bethel's a big village. So I'm thankful for those. And also I'm thankful for the doctors and nurses, especially the nurses that leave their homes and come and serve in this area, because their job is a really big job. And we welcome the people that come back. Our friend Jill that goes to Sudan, I was so glad to see her at ER yesterday. She comes back. She was here. She comes back to
Bethel.
Uh-oh. Somehow it got lost. But we'll go on to Fritz from Bethel. Good morning, Fritz. We have a few minutes left. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. About the state troopers and the fishing game, about hunting and fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, everybody probably noticed, whenever we have a short couple-hour opener for subsistence, I hate to say it, but everybody, the state and the feds, they bring in people from all over the state just to regulate the commercial subsistence fishermen. And then during moose hunting season, they also bring in a lot of wildlife troopers to keep an eye on all the hunters and supposedly herding the moose away from the hunters. You know, I have a huge problem with that, and so does everybody else. And then whenever there's crime, let's say there's an assault or attempted murder or whatever it may be, they wait until 3, 4, 5 days later and then come to the village and go arrest the person. Why not have the state troopers, you know, instead of turning the cheek, you know, it's like a sore eye to them, a sore thumb. You know, let the assault happen, you know. Instead of citing subsistence fishermen or subsistence hunters for moose, you know, the state has this completely 180 degrees turned around. It should be the other way around. If there's crime, the trooper should be there immediately in the village instead of during the subsistence fishing or moose hunting season. And I'll mention this on the next, hopefully on Monday, if I'm available, I'll mention this again on Yupik Talk Show.
Okay.
Okay.
You guys understand what I'm trying
good
to say?
Good point. Yeah, you have some points there. Yes.
Yeah, good.
Oh, okay, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Fritz. Yep. Yes. Yep. You know.
So we have, go ahead.
Yeah, just shortly, you know, but I think those people that do come in need to be maybe given a day or two of like
orientation of some kind.
Something like some sort, yeah.
Yeah, I think it would be nice that they have like more than just going hunting. They're really learning about a whole world out here.
Yes, it's important.
That's good. So I don't know. We may have time for like about a minute of Cesari. So okay. Cesari, you're going to have to be very quick.
1 minute, that'll be quick. Talking about Joe Moore been talking about no need a swimming pool, costs lots of money. The swimming pool save lives. The people, there are lots of kids learning the swimming. They needed that. There is good program for school. Mm-hmm. And if villages send the kids in here, they teach them to swim, teach them the safety procedure in the water, and that is, we don't need it, maybe something else. We don't need maybe fire station. Get contract with the states. Get the we're spending lots of money for fire station. Mm-hmm. We have 2-3 fires, and there's actually never been saved any building from it. Never have fires. They have sitting things. Okay. Split the money. Give the have money to the state. State need money. We need money.
All right.
Same thing with the police station.
Okay.
Wasilla have them state troopers. They don't have a police station. Get them running our town. And we split them. That costs lots of money. We just get those people with recovery.
Okay.
Drunks and stuff. And
all right.
Social thing.
Well,
thank you, Cesar.
Sorry for calling in.
Yeah.
We had to kind of fade him out because the music starts, and that means we're wrapping up for today.
Yes, that's right.
I want to say I have a neighbor. I'm teaching her little girl how to swim. Her little girl's about 4 years old. Mm. And I really appreciate it because she's getting more confidence so that, like, if she got into a little bit of trouble in water, she has more confidence.
Good.
She has some ideas on how to get herself to float and move around so that she doesn't panic. That's the key, is like
good
to help
job.
Them not panic. So,
you know, we appreciated all our callers we had today. We had an array of callers.
Thank you.
A lot of them from Bethel and a few religious, you know. But, you know, people have concerns out there. So we appreciate you sharing your concerns through KYUK so others can hear and maybe something good will come out of
And if during the week you might something might occur to you and you could think, hey, I'm going to call into Talkline and share that. So keep those calls and emails coming and have a great weekend, everyone.
Yes, everyone. Have a safe and a great weekend. Yes,
pick the last blueberry.
Yeah. Do it. It's not what looks like.